Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. And we come to a word of exhortation in the Word of God. And I trust that God would use it to challenge all of us. We know that the Word of God challenges us again and again and strengthens us in the Lord. And the message we come to in Proverbs tonight is one that we trust will strengthen us and strengthen us in our work for the Lord. I hope you know the Lord as your Savior. I came to know Christ when I was just a boy of eight years of age, and I knew that without Christ, I certainly would spend eternity in hell. I was convicted of my sin, and I'm so thankful that I had a Christian mother and father who pointed me to the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I put my faith in Him. I know whom I have believed, and I'm thankful that I know my salvation is in the Lord Jesus. I hope you can say that as well. The message tonight really is for the believer. I trust that we can be exhorted to continue on in what God has given us to do. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, if you would please, in verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 8. And we come to this one verse of Scripture. And the Bible says, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." We don't always do it this way, but would you mind reading that scripture with me, please? Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 8. Let's read it together. "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." You know, I love the book of Proverbs. In fact, most Christians that I meet say the same thing. And the reason is because God is taking in the Proverbs, God is taking the greatest of truths and He is presenting them to us in the most memorable fashion. He's really just giving us word pictures. You know, when I was a kid, I wasn't a very good reader. And when I went to the library, I picked out the books that had the most pictures. All right? Anybody else like that out there? Okay, I see mostly men raising their hands. But anyhow, I like the pictures. And I like Proverbs because it's really a picture book. And God knows how to paint a very quick picture and teach us an amazing truth. And God speaks of things that we can easily identify. "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." All over the planet, we all know of birds, don't we? The other day, just about a week ago, I had an unusual encounter. I was driving to our church campus, and very suddenly, a bald eagle landed on Clinton Highway right beside me. Wasn't that amazing? I think it stood about this tall when it landed on the ground. It was a huge bird and a beautiful bird. And I've all my life sort of been fascinated with birds. Now, why do we like birds? I think we're enthralled with birds because they just seem so free. I mean, they can fly. They're not bound to the ground. They're not bound to walking around on 2 feet or 4 legs or something like that. I mean, they can literally go anywhere they want to go. Yeah, about 100 years ago, Orville and Wilbur Wright, who, by the way, were sons of a preacher, and they were raised in the Word of God, and their own father said that all of their ingenuity he attributed to the fact that he raised them on the Bible. That's very interesting. But Orville and Wilbur Wright had this idea of flight and aviation. And, of course, they went to what God made to figure that out. They studied the birds. Look how free they are. Look how they soar through the sky. But God is not talking about the freedom of the birds here. He's talking about something very interesting. As a bird, he says, that wandereth from her nest. We associate the birds with the nest that they have. And that's very important to that bird. Remember, the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 9 had a man who came and said, "I will follow you, Lord, wherever you go." And to make the point very quickly, he looked at that man and he said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." In other words, it's going to mean something to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even the Lord used this little analogy that a bird has a nest. The bird has its nest. What is the nest? The nest is that place of refuge. The nest is that place of safety. We've had some big storms in recent days. You ever think about it? Where do the little sparrows go? Where do the robins go? Where do those eagles go? Where do all the birds go when it's storm time? Well, they have a nest somewhere. And they tuck themselves in that place of safety, a refuge. It's the place where they can hide out. It's a place where they can survive. In the cold of winter, it's the place where they can stay warm and find that warmth and the cover that they need. And that place is very uniquely prepared for that kind of bird. And they've put a lot of effort into having that place because they're going to survive and they're going to make it and they're going to have safety and protection because of that nest. How many are following me so far? Well, the Bible says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest. You see, birds have freedom, but what if they fly too far away? What if they lose track of where they belong? Have you ever seen a bird that found itself where it did not belong, away from the nest? I had this crazy story just pop into my head when I was studying this proverb, and it was just a flashback of when I was a child. And I'll have to ask my mom if she remembers this. She's not able to be with us tonight. She's listening online. But when I was just a child, I'm sure under 10 years of age, maybe 7 or 8 years of age, we lived in a little place. And I remember someone threw the door open to our house, and in flew a big black crow right in the door. And all of us kids were in the living room area. We were playing around and that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, here comes this, caw, caw, here comes this bird right in the front door. And you say, what did the bird do when he got in your house? He went berserko. That's what he did. He went crazy. He was flapping around. Black feathers were flying. Other things were flying that we don't talk about. And he was making a mess and going around everywhere and all this kind of thing. We were opening the door. And you say, what were you kids doing? We went berserko, okay? There's a bird in here. What are we doing? We were crying and screaming and laughing and everything all at the same time, trying to shoo this big crow out of our place. And finally, we got him out of our place, and we got him back to wherever his place is. You know why he panicked? Because he realized, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm too far from home. I've gone the wrong direction. You know, God says, take a simple analogy. The bird needs to stay in his place. And God says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. And do you know God has a place for every one of us? Turn back just a few pages in Proverbs to chapter 14, and let's notice how the Word of God speaks of this place. Proverbs chapter 14. And look with me, please, at verse number 26, Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And notice this beautiful expression in God's word. And his children shall have a place of refuge. His children shall have a place of refuge. How many of you know you're one of his children? Would you raise your hand? This is talking about you. God says for every single one of his children, there's a place of refuge for you. You say, where do I find that place of refuge? Well, you don't look on a map to find it necessarily. Where do you find that place of refuge? Notice he says, in the fear of the Lord. You find that place of refuge by getting the right attitude toward God. You find that place of refuge by saying, you know, I want to acknowledge the Lord in my life. He's the Lord. I'm this child. I'm going to be obedient to him. I'm going to take my steps in his will for my life. I'm going to follow him and obey him. And you know, God may lead you 1,000 miles in one direction or 1,000 miles in another direction geographically. But if you're in obedience to him and you're in submission to the Lord and you're in the fear of God and you're following him as his child, then you're in the place of his perfect will. There is nothing like being in the place where you know this is the place of obedience to my Heavenly Father. There's nothing like that. And by the way, just like it is for the bird, the will of God is that place of safety. It's a place of refuge. It's a place where you belong. It's a place that's going to get you through the storms of life. Are you in the place where God wants you to be? Well, here is the message of Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 8. The message is very simple. Stay in your place. Amen. Don't leave your place. Don't leave the precious will of God. Don't leave the place of obedience to the Lord. That's where you need to be. You're free. Somebody says, well, I'm free in Christ. Boy, we are. We're free from sin. We're free from the law. We're free from this world that surrounds us. We're not a part of this world. God set us free from all that. We are free in Jesus. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? We need to find his place for us. And we don't need to fly away from that place. How many Christians today are still alive and they're still existing? They're still on planet Earth. But a long time ago, they left the place that God really had for them. The place of service. The place of his will. The place of obedience. Maybe even sometimes in the work of the Lord, we might look where we used to see someone and we say, oh, I miss them. They used to be in that place. I don't see them anymore. What happened to them? Maybe they said, well, I'm free. I can do what I want to do. But you know, it's a sad thing when you fly away from the place where God wants you to be. And I just want to give you a few illustrations from the Bible. You know, I'm not trying to accuse others because the hymn writer had it right when the hymn writer wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We all have something in us, in our old man, that wants to fly away from the place where God would have us to be, that wants to leave that place of obedience and service where God has us. There's something in us that wants to wander. But you know what? The Lord can enable us and the Lord can help us just to stay in our place. Where are the Christians who just stick to it, who don't give up, who keep their nose to the work and to the grindstone? And they just say, you know, God has called me, God has led me, God has put me here, he's put my family here, and I'm just going to stay in my place. You know, it's sad, but some people leave their place and then they die having never returned to the place that God really wanted them to be. But many Christians I've seen, in fact, many, we've held their memorial for them even in this very auditorium. And as we walk by their bodies, as we thought about a finished life, I've thought many times, I'm glad he or she just stayed in their place. They just stayed in the will of God. They just kept serving the Lord. Don't you want to finish that way? Let me just give you a couple of illustrations. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 3, if you would. And let me first of all give you the illustration of Adam. Adam left his place. And may I say this first as an illustration? Some people leave their place because of sin. Sin gets in. And it takes them out of the will of God because they won't deal with that sin. Look in Genesis chapter 3. Of course, we know that God gave Adam and Eve a paradise. Of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. They had a lot of freedom. But in the will of God, there was one tree that they were not to eat of. And they sinned. They disobeyed the Lord. In Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called out unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. You know what we find in Genesis chapter 3? A mess. An absolute mess. Think about it. They're hollering back and forth to God. It doesn't have to be this way. Prior to this, they would walk with God in the cool of the day in fellowship and in communion, walking around in a paradise with God, getting to know God and God making himself known to them. They had fellowship and sweet communion. They had this relationship with God that was wonderful and precious and intimate and real and genuine. And now sin has gotten in. Now they've lost their place. You know, perhaps that's the worst place of all that we could ever leave, is that place of just quiet communion and fellowship, hand in hand with our Savior. Can I ask you tonight, have you left that place? Have you left the place of walking with God in His Word and meeting the Lord on a daily basis, bringing your needs to Him, getting to know Him, letting Him reveal Himself to you through His Word as He speaks to you by His Spirit? You know, that's the most precious place of all. But they left that place for some very simple sin that they allowed to come into their life. Didn't even seem like a big sin, did it? Just eating of a piece of fruit. But it was sin against God. And so many times, if we're not careful, we'll leave our place. We'll get too far from our place of fellowship and communion with God because we start letting some sin get in our life and we won't deal with it. We won't confess it and forsake it that we might have mercy. We won't confess it to God and find the cleansing that God's promised. And we leave that place of fellowship with God. Some people leave their place just simply because of sin. Can I tell you, God needs to work in us just a hatred of sin. He needs to work that in us. We need to hate it because of what it does to us. It removes us from our place that we really should have with our God. Some people leave their place because of sin. Can I give you a second example? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. Some people leave their place because of strife. Something happens between them and someone else, and they leave their place. They leave the will of God. Look in Genesis 13, if you would please, in verse number 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And notice verse 7, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Why the division? Why the separation? Strife got in. Lot's place, if I could say it this way, was with Abram. Why was Lot even there in the land? Because of Abram. Why is Lot connected with the true and living God? Because of Abram. Why does Lot have the blessing of many herds and the herdmen? And why is he wealthy and, you know, attaining all these wonderful blessings? Because he's with Abram. Every good thing in his life is because of Abram. And yet a strife gets in. A fuss takes place. They're brethren. Abraham says, I don't want any strife between me and you. Let's do something to resolve this. And you say, well, what should Lot have done? Lot should have said, I'll give up all my herdmen. I'll give up all my herds. I'll do anything I have to do to stay with you, Uncle Abram. You taught me of God. You are the source of blessing in my life. If it weren't for you, I would never be here. And instead of doing whatever was needed to deal with the strife, Lot left his place. Well, how many Christians are there today who used to be in the will of God and used to be serving God and used to be right in the place where God wanted them, a place of obedience, but they got something between them and a brother. They got something between them and a sister, and they refused to deal with that thing. And now it's turned in to them turning their back and leaving the will of God and leaving the place that God has for them or maybe for their family. How many times have we seen that in the work of God? What a sad thing. Some people leave their place because of strife. Listen, don't allow strife to drive you out of the will of God for your life. Deal with it. You say, what's it going to take to deal with strife? It's going to take a big pill stuck in the back of your throat, and you're going to have to swallow it. You know what's written on that pill, right? Pride. You say, give me five steps to dealing with strife. I can give you one. Swallow the pill, okay? Swallow your pride. Humble yourself. Deal with the strife. Get right with that brother. Hey, it could be somebody in the church. It could be somebody in your family. It could be somebody in the work of God. And you might even think, well, they didn't do it exactly the right way. Get it right anyhow. Deal with it. This is not worth leaving your place. This is not saying, well, I'm just going to go where I want to go and do what I want to do. It's not worth it. You're going to leave behind the blessing that God could have on your life, just like Lot left it behind. And by the way, trace the life of Lot from that verse on. It's all downhill, isn't it? In fact, it ends in the greatest of misery. It ends in the lowest of lows. And we don't even need to deal with it right now because, you know, this was the turning point when he got out of his place, when he wandered like a bird from her nest. Everything went downhill. Everything ended up in the flesh. Everything ended up in a way that was dishonoring to God. How sad when people won't deal with the strife. Some people leave their place because of sin. Some people leave their place because of strife. Can I show you just another example, if you would? Look at Ruth chapter 1, will you please? Turn to Ruth chapter 1. Another example would be this. Some people leave their place because of struggles. Things just get hard. Times just get tough. It's hard to make ends meet. Notice, if you would, in Ruth chapter 1, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Can I just say, in very quick context, this is the worst of times. Okay? These are not the best of times. These are the worst of times. The days when the judges ruled. Read the whole book of Judges. It's anarchy. Everybody's doing that which is right in their own eyes. It's a cycle again and again of rebellion against God and retribution because of their sin. No real leadership. God will send a judge and then people will rally to God and then they rebel again and go into idolatry again. Nationally, it's a terrible time to live in. In the days when the judges ruled, there's a family. And look what happens. It says in verse 1, "Now there was a famine in the land." Now, as if the political situation weren't bad enough. Now they don't have rain. Now they're getting short on food. Verse 1 again, "And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech." I'll just stop there. Most of you know the account, don't you? Elimelech lives in Bethlehem, Judah. That means the house of bread and praise. That's a pretty good place. You know what? That was the place God had for him. That was the place God put him. That's the place God put him and his wife. That's the place God put him and his wife and his two boys. That was God's will. That was God's place. And you say, why did Elimelech leave his place? Can I just say it this way? He struggled. Times got tough. Things were hard. How am I going to feed my family? How am I going to get through this famine? How am I going to deal with this nation in turmoil? I don't know if I can make it. I'm scratching and clawing. There's more month than there is money. I'm just struggling day after day after day after day. And finally, Elimelech just gave in and said, I'm leaving here. Come on, Naomi. Come on, Mahlon and Chilion. We're just getting out of here. Let's go sojourn somewhere else. And the word sojourn means let's temporarily go somewhere else. But here's the sad thing. It didn't end up temporary, did it? He stayed there a year and 2 years and 3 years. We believe Elimelech stayed in Moab probably about a decade. And then finally, he died out of the place where God really wanted him to be. What a sad thing. Why did Elimelech leave the place? Look, he just got to struggling. And in our struggles, the devil will get in and say, you got to do something. You got to change something up. You're not going to make it. Listen, when we hear that voice, can we not get in our Bible? Can we not get in the Word of God and start reading the promises of God again and say, look, I may have to struggle for a while, but God is going to be faithful to me. God is not going to fail my family. God is not going to forsake us or leave us alone. God is for us. He's not against us. We've got to strengthen our faith in those times of struggle. But this man left his place. He got out of the will of God because he just finally got tired of struggling along and thought, I'm just going to take matters into my own hands. Oh, we can learn from the Bible, can't we? The things that were written aforetime, the Bible says, were written for our learning. Why are we reading this? Why is this recorded? Because God's saying, you don't want to be an Elimelech. You don't want to die out of the will of God. Hang in there. Trust God. Believe Him. Some people thinking, hey, I'm just struggling day to day. I'm struggling week to week. It's a hard time. Times are tough. Hey, don't leave the place where God has put you. Stay in the will of God. You know, in the New Testament, Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. You know the verse, many of you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Unmovable. Sounds to me like staying in your place. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes people get in the work of God and they think, you know, I'm just struggling in this Sunday school class, or I'm just struggling on this bus route. I'm not seeing things happen. It's like pulling teeth. I'm not seeing the results I want to see. Maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe I need to try something else. Listen, if you're in the will of God, if God's led you there, hang in there. Trust God. Stay in your place. Amen. Don't let the struggle cause you to miss out on the blessing. So there was a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. Yeah, but it was still the house of bread and praise. He should have stayed there. He'd have made it through much better there than in Moab, apart from the people of God. Some people leave their place because sin gets in, breaks that fellowship with God. Some people leave their place because they won't deal with something between them and a brother. Finally, it hits a head, and they're out of the will of God. Some people leave their place because they just won't bring their struggles to the Lord. They won't hang in there and trust God with it. Don't be one of those. Can I give you one final example? Look with me, please, at 2 Samuel chapter 11. What about David? Very interestingly, David left his place not because of sin and initially, not because of just strife or struggles. But initially, why did David lose the place that he had with God? Remember, David had a great fall. Well, interestingly, David left his place because of success. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 11 and notice what the Bible says. It came to pass after the year was expired. Notice the expression, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Why is David at Jerusalem? This is the time for kings to go to battle. David had some type of conversation, no doubt, that went something like this. Maybe he had it with himself. I've won a lot of battles. I've been out to the war a lot of times. And hey, I've come back victorious. Did you know that up to this point, chapter 10, David has never had a defeat up to this point? Every time he's gone out, he's won. Started with a big giant. Remember that? He went out in the field and he hit the giant with a stone. Hey, David was batting 1,000, okay? David's thinking here, at this particular time, I've won a lot of battles. I've seen a lot of victories. God's done a lot of things through me. You know what I think? I think it's time for me to back off a little bit. I've been successful. And all the kings are going out to battle, but David says, I'm not going to go this time. I'm just going to send Joab. I'm going to send Joab and his servants. I'm going to let them go out. I'm going to stay back. If we could interview David tonight and bring him back from the presence of the Lord where he's at now and bring him back here and say, David, what was the one worst decision of your entire life? David would open to 2 Samuel 11:1 and say, that's it right there. I got complacent with my success. My place was out there on the battlefield. My place was out there advancing for God. My place was out there doing what God wanted me to do. But I left my place because I thought, you know, I've accomplished enough so far. And did you know, if we're not careful, especially some of us who've known the Lord for quite a while, maybe served the Lord in many ways for quite a while, if we're not careful, we will leave our place because of past success. And we'll think, you know, I've done that, and I've seen the Lord, and I'm thankful, and I've got good memories, and I've got good, you know, memories to lean on. I know what God can do, but it's now somebody else can go out and do that. Hang on a second. God still has a work for us. Our place is still serving the Lord. Our place is still advancing the cause of Christ. Our place is still taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, we find out exactly in what ways God wants us to do that. There's no doubt about it through our local church. But it's not time to sit down. And it's not time to stay in the palace. Our place is in the place of service for God. Where are the Christians who would just simply say, in a day where everything's changing, in a day where everybody wants to follow the newest fad and the next thing coming down the line, where are the believers who would just say, I want to find out what God wants me to do and how God wants me to serve Him in my church, and I'm just going to stay in that place. I'm not going to move. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, but none of these things move me. Why did he say that? Because all of them could have moved him. All those things could have moved him from being the apostle and the servant of the Lord that he really was and that God wanted him to be. And so many things came in that could have moved him from his place. But Paul said, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself. I want to finish this course with joy that God has given me. How are we going to finish? How are we going to finish? They say that when the Mount Vesuvius erupted and buried the ancient Roman city of Pompeii and sort of petrified and everything in that vast cataclysmic eruption, that they began to unearth things in that ancient city of Pompeii. And they say that they came to a certain part of the ancient city, and though everything had been frozen in time for 1,000 years, they say they found the body of a Roman soldier. His staff, his spear still in his hand. He was frozen in time, still standing. And guess where he was standing? He was standing at his watch at the gate of the city of Pompeii. He'd been standing there for 1,000 years. You know what? We need some people who will just stand in their place, serve the Lord, and say, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to let this strife go on. I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to let this sin stay in my heart. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to get in fellowship with God again. I'm not going to even let my struggles overwhelm me. I'm going to trust the Lord and hang in there. I'm not going to let success make me kick back in the recliner. No, I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to stay in my place. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, don't forget the picture. So is a man that wandereth from his place. That place of God's will is your place of safety and security, of comfort. It's the place that you need to be to survive all the storms of life. Don't leave the place of the will of God in your life. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you that we can simply look at this picture, the word picture you've given in your precious word to us tonight. Maybe some here tonight are thinking of leaving the place where you put them. Maybe they see something in their life now that could pull them and move them from that place. Help them to determine tonight to be unmovable and to stand fast right in the place where you've put them for your honor and glory. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, we're going to invite you to respond to the Lord as He's spoken to you. If you don't know Christ as Savior, our workers are coming now to this altar. They have a Bible in hand. Maybe you say, I'm just without Christ. I'm without the assurance of heaven. Would you come in just a moment when we begin to sing and take one of these workers by the hand? Let them take a Bible and show you how you can leave here knowing Christ as your Savior. But many believers are here tonight. And you need to come and say, Lord, keep me in my place. Amen. Keep me in my place. Maybe God, the Holy Spirit, has pointed out some sin, some strife, some struggle in your life that's about to move you. It's about to take you away from where you need to be. And you need to come and give that to the Lord. I want to encourage you to do that tonight. The hymn writer wrote, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Amen. Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Can you honestly say that tonight? Can you honestly sing that tonight? There's something between. Would you bring that?